I want to say also good evening to you tonight. It's good to see each one of you. Before we begin the class tonight, or my lesson, I'd like to also say a word about the tornadoes and the damage. Chris preached right out of Mayfield. What? So have you heard anything about? Okay. Our youngest son attends church at North Lexington, which of course is in Lexington, Kentucky, and they have some members there that grew up in Mayfield and have relatives still there and so on. And as far as he knew last night, that all of those relatives and so on were doing okay. But as was said, we need to keep them in our prayers. I was in Arkansas, Marion, Arkansas, Friday night, and on a duck hunting trip. And so me and a duck hunting buddy, we were in second floor of a motel there. And I think it was around 11 o'clock that all the sirens went off there. And my phone made that alarm and so on, and then his made the alarm, and then it didn't wake him up, but he had one of those sleep apnea things on, you know, and so a few minutes later mine went off, and then his went off again, and that time it did wake him up, and then he could hear the sirens going off and everything and the tornado warnings, and so we turned the television on, and they were showing that there was rotation there in West Memphis, which was, as the crow flies, maybe 2 to 5 miles from where we were staying. And I don't think they touched down there, but they did touch down farther north from there. But it was a very, very scary situation and so on. I thought about it was certainly a good time, as all times are, a good time to be a Christian, where that you're, at least you're not afraid of eternity and spiritual things if that tornado had hit or tornadoes had hit that motel there. And again, we were on the second floor. We talked last Sunday night about a great danger in the church today, and that great danger has to do with speculation about the scriptures. And I read this last Sunday night that more than one half of Americans say that religious beliefs are a matter of personal opinion, not objective facts. In other words, they're saying that my opinion about religion or Christianity and so on is more important than what God's word has to say about it. And that's a very, very dangerous and a very sad situation that our country's in as far as religion is concerned. I'm going to review just a little bit and go on to what I want us to look at tonight. According to Webster's Dictionary, the word speculate or speculation means to think about the various aspects of a given subject, to meditate, to ponder, especially to conjecture. And we talked about that preachers and church parents and some congregations and out of the pulpit in some congregations get a daily or a weekly dose of speculation. And especially a lot of parents have talked to me about sending their children away to Church of Christ colleges, and their kids come back and all they want to do is speculate about the scriptures and about how disappointing and discouraging that is to them as parents. We read some verses that warn us about speculating on the scriptures. We talked a little bit about at the very end the restoration plea or motto, to speak where the Bible speaks and be silent where the Bible is silent. Thus saith the Lord, book, chapter, and verse. And I mentioned that when I started preaching 50 years ago, that was still the stance, the motto in most churches of Christ. But as was said by Brother Terry a few moments ago about that particular passage, that for some preachers and some elders and some members, then it seemed like that everything in the Bible is up for debate and speculation today. And some people, they don't believe what the Bible teaches on a lot of different subjects and so on. Well, what I want us to do tonight, I just want us to look at some different things of where, now we're talking about in the church now, we're not talking about other religious groups and so on. I'm talking about in the Church of Christ today, some things that are things that have to do with speculation, and it's obviously causing a lot of problems in a lot of congregations and a lot of communities, a lot of areas today. And then what I want to start with is the church's name. Romans chapter 16, verse 16. There's a lot of speculation today in the church about the church's name. Romans chapter 16, verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, greet one another with a holy kiss. The churches of Christ greet you. I noticed coming in this into the building a few moments ago, it says out there on the sign out there, Church of Christ at Fairview. Well, to me it's an important question, it may not be to you, but is that a title or a description of who we are? Think about that. Is it a title or is it a description of who we are? It may be if a lot of religious groups, a lot of churches of Christ taking their name off of the wherever their name is, you know, the sign or on the building itself, a lot of them are taking them off. Well, some of them have become so liberal, I'm glad they are taking them off. And we'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But if understood, it's not to be a title, it's a description of who we are. And then maybe they wouldn't be so quick to take names off and so on. I've got some questions. But what if someone or some say, oh, I find that offensive. I find that offensive. Having, you know, on a sign, on the letters on the building, Church of Christ, or a sign like it is out here, or a wooden sign out in the churchyard or whatever, they say, oh, I find that to be offensive. Or some of the members come to the elders and say, that, again, Church of Christ, that is offensive to some people in this community. That is offensive to some of my family members. More would come if we dropped that name out there. If it just said Fairview Church. Church speculation about the name. But again, if we understand that when it says Church of Christ, it is a description of who we are. It's not a title. Then, if it's offensive to some people, then so be it. They're offended by Christ then, aren't they? And so, in some places, the name Church of Christ is speculated about whether it should continue to go by that title or not. Number two, Well, before we go to number two, I want to ask this question. If the church here decided we're not going to go by Church of Christ anymore, we're going to just say church. We're going to take the name down on the sign out there and so on, and our stationery wouldn't say it anymore and so on. Here's the question, would that please Christ? Again, the questions that I ask, some members might say, well, I find that offensive. Some might say, well, it's offensive to some people in the community. Others might say, well, it's offensive to some of my family members. Others might say, well, more would attend here if we drop that name. Would that please Christ? That's the most important thing, isn't it? Would that please Christ if the church here did that? Turn with me to Acts chapter 20, verse 28, as we're asking the question, would that please Christ then? Acts chapter 20, verse 28. The Apostle Paul says, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. And so, to whom does the church belong? It belongs to Christ, doesn't it? Because he purchased it with his own blood. In the book of Ephesians, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. And so, as members of the Lord's church, what is there to speculate about? This is the Lord's church. This is the church of Christ. And if we want to be true to him and we want to please him, then there's not really anything to speculate about then. This is the Lord's church. This is the church of Christ. Okay, number two. I want to talk a little bit about, and this is one that's speculated about a lot, is music in the church. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, and then we'll look at Colossians 3:16. The Apostle Paul says, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16, a very similar verse. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Sadly, today in the Church of Christ, and very sadly, we have preachers in our pulpits, we have elders in our congregations, we have members that believe that instrumental music in the worship is okay. I've heard it said by some that if you took a poll or a questionnaire among any particular Church of Christ, you might find as many as 50 to 75% of the members would say, well, it'd be okay to have instrumental music in our church. Well, I'm not going to go into a lot of, this would be a several night thing about going over about the introduction of music in the church and so on. We can go to almost the very decade and find when it was introduced and so on and where and by what religious group and so on. And we could do all of that, but I don't want to spend that amount of time to do that. But the old Charlotte Avenue Church in Nashville, Carol and I were visiting up there on a Sunday morning, and they had worship service first and Bible study like this congregation does. We stayed and sat in for the Bible class, and the lesson the preacher had then was about singing and about instrumental music in the church. And so he asked the members there, What would you do if you came on any particular Sunday morning? Now, this was in the auditorium, just like we're in the auditorium tonight. And he said, over on this side up there, you know, on the side away from the pulpit, on a particular Sunday morning, you come and a piano set in there. What would you do? Well, one of the women spoke up immediately. She said, I would get up and leave. I asked that in a congregation one time, and the way I phrased it was that there was a wedding there on Saturday night, the night before, and a piano was used in the wedding service and so on, and the family members and others just didn't take the time to roll it out into another part of the building, so it was still sitting. It was on Sunday morning. And I asked him, I said, what would you do? And I remember that more than one said, wouldn't mean anything to me just as long as it's not played. I thought that the Apostle Paul said we're to avoid even the very appearance of evil. What appearance would that give, especially if you had visitors to come in? What appearance would that give with that piano sitting over there right next to the pulpit as they came in to worship on that Sunday morning? Excuse me. Are you ready? Okay, I've got Carol and I, our youngest son and his family goes to the North Lexington Church of Christ. On the first weekend of August, they have what is called the Restoration Lectureship. And 3 years ago, we went to that, and they have a guest speaker on Wednesday night. It starts then to kick it off, and on Thursday, they have guest speakers like two or three during the day and then one at night. And then Friday, you go out and you visit different areas. That was kind of the hotbed. Up in that area was kind of the hotbed of the restoration movement and to get one thing, to get instrumental music out of the different congregations and so on. And so as far as where you go on Friday, they kind of rotate that around, so if you went 5 years in a row, you wouldn't go to the same place every time and so on. Of course, 2 years ago, it was shut down because of COVID. 1 year ago. This year, we did not get to go because I was around a husband and a wife that she tested positive for COVID the next day, and that was a week before we were supposed to go. And so I had to isolate myself and so on. And so we did not get to go. And then on Saturday, they have speakers. And then on Sunday, again, a particular speaker. And then that afternoon, they worship. And in fact, inside of that is where we worship. That is where Barton Stone and others decided that they were not going to go by any creeds of religious groups anymore. They were going to just go by the Bible. And one of the things they decided fairly quickly was that they were going to have to get rid of the instrument. And so this is Cane Ridge, and this is the inside. This is the old building, Cane Ridge. It was Cane Ridge, or Church of Christ at Cane Ridge. Sadly, today it's a denominational church again. They have a musical instrument in there. They kindly allowed us to worship on Sunday afternoon. Obviously, we didn't worship with the instrument, but we did worship there on a Sunday afternoon. Now, you might be thinking, well, it was an instrument sitting there. Well, it was, but they were kind enough to let us, as a Church of Christ, to go in there and worship in that old Cane Ridge building where the restoration movement started. We put up the next slide up, please. Okay, this, and put up the next one, if you will. Okay, this is Midway. This was one that they did away. This is Midway. It's outside of Lexington, maybe 15 or 20 miles. And it was one also that did away with the instrument and became the Church of Christ. But again, over a period of time, this one, as you see on that, it says it's Christian Church, and they have the instrument in there now, and they worship with the instrument. And if you go back to the other one, okay, thank you. I keep calling it an instrument because that's not called a piano, that's called a melodeon. And so the next slide that shows the church there, then this melodeon, if you go to the next slide, there at Midway, the singing, they said, was awful, just awful. And so some of the members went and they would practice trying to get better with singing at a house using a melodeon for them to learn to sing better. Well, you can imagine where that went to. So, you know, they got better at singing, so some of them thought, well, let's put that melodeon in the church building. We'll sing better there, too. And so that's what they did. Now, supposedly, if you go back to the one on the melodeon, supposedly that was the one. That's the one that started in that Church of Christ at Midway, going back to using music in the Churches of Christ. And that's supposed to be the one. But the story was told that some of the members there, two of the men, slipped into the church building on a Friday or Saturday night, stole the melodeon out so that they would not be used on Sunday. So they're going to get that music out of there. And so, and then some have told that it was put in a barn somewhere and it's that one. And some said they chopped it up and burned it. So whichever story you believe. But anyway, that one is in a college outside of Lexington, Kentucky. And you can go in there and see it, and they give you a nice little pamphlet to read about it and so on. And supposedly that is the melodeon that started in the Churches of Christ to start have music back in their building again. That little instrument right there is supposed to be the one. Now, why is all of that? Well, another thing. From about 1850 or 1860 to 1900, about 80 to 85% of the Churches of Christ in America went with the instrument, went back to using the instrument. And that's important today because there's a lot of speculation about using an instrument in the church today. And again, a lot of congregations, 50 to 70% of their membership would say that it's okay. It'd be okay with me if you did that here, to use an instrument in the worship service. But in the early church, all you find is congregational singing and using your voice to sing, to worship God. But again, music in the church is something that's speculated a lot about today in the Lord's church. Number three, let's talk a little bit about sin and a little bit about hell. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 28 and verse 29, by the way, while you're turning to that, when I preached out at Clearview, I taught the Wednesday night adult class in the auditorium, and I probably went three or four Wednesday nights on about music, talking about music in the church and so on. And one of the members there spoke up and said, "You're wasting our time. Why don't we keep studying about this?" He said, "I know what I believe." And I said, "Well, what do your grandkids believe?" And if your grandkids are asked by someone, if they attended the Church of Christ, why don't go away to college or go to work or whatever? Why don't y'all use a piano in church services? What would your grandkids tell them? And how would they defend us just using singing? And I said, that is why we need to study about it. So that they would, you know, Peter said to be able to give an answer about your faith. And so we need to teach our children and our grandchildren and so on, so that as they're faced by that, especially if they're dating someone or marry into a family that, you know, they attend services somewhere that they use a musical instrument, then why they would not want to attend and be a part of that. Okay, let's talk a little bit about sin and about hell. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 28 and 29, Jesus is speaking and he says, "Even so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and adorn the monuments of the righteous." He's speaking about, he's saying, you're guilty of sin. And he's calling them hypocrites and so on. Well, let's also go to the 25th chapter, verse 30, and it's a verse about eternal hell. 25th chapter, verse 30. "And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Verse 46, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." I've talked a little bit about, when I've been helping here, about elders today are talking to preachers and saying, "Don't preach that here." I'm talking about sin now and about hell. It might offend someone if you use the word hell out of the pulpit here at this congregation. And then some preachers say, "I'll never use the word hell in my preaching or teaching. I'll never preach against it. Never mention it." And then the same preacher or preachers or elders would say, "Oh, we're against sin here." Very, very important question. Which one? Which one are you against? I've heard preachers just get up and rail against sin and so on. And, "Oh, I hate sin. I hate sin." But he never names which one. Never names the sin that the Bible condemns. But, oh, he's so much against sin. Let me ask you a question. We're speaking about today, which we just read the words of our Lord. Which Church of Christ congregation would the Apostle Paul be allowed to preach in today? Which Church of Christ congregation would Peter be allowed to preach in today? Which Church of Christ congregation would our Lord be allowed to preach in today? What did Peter just call those leaders of the Jews? He said, "You're hypocrites." Wow, I wouldn't like to be called that, would you? As we've mentioned today, preachers that are labeled conservative have fewer and fewer congregations where they're able to speak, because fewer and fewer congregations want the true word of God preached and taught in their congregations. And so sin, that's a lot of speculation about that today. Hell, a lot of speculation about that today. We don't want those things mentioned inside our buildings. Number four, marriage, divorce, and remarriage. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, the writer of the book of Hebrews says this about marriage. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4. "Marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge." And then Matthew chapter 19, verse 1 through 9, that Brother Terry read a few moments ago, Jesus was was asked about marriage and divorce and about the practice of that day and time of the Jewish people and Jewish leaders and what they taught and so on and so forth. And so that was a topic of speculation then, and it's a topic of speculation in the church today. I have known of elderships that have debated, conjectured, speculated for 9 months or a year or more, bring different speakers in to talk to them and so on and study together and so on. And the ones I've known about, this is the conclusion that they came to. We're not going to make a stand. Just fling the doors open. We don't have any stand today. If you were listening or following along when Brother Terry read that, what is there to speculate about? Nothing. Nothing at all. There's not anything to speculate about. What is there to debate about? There is nothing to debate about unless you're wanting to say that you or a family member that it's okay for you not to follow what the scriptures teach in that. And then there's something to speculate about then. But of course it wouldn't be the truth of God's word. And so that is another thing that is speculated about today. And causes great controversy in the church today. Let's do one more. I just then looked. Is Brother Hatcher, is that clock right tonight or is it? Oh, okay. Social drinking. A lot of speculation in the church today about social drinking. Will you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 through 5? 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles. And he's going to mention some things. When we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, revelries, drinking parties and abominable idolatries. In regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who's ready to judge the living and the dead. Oh, how that's speculated about in the Lord's church today. Some will admit and say, oh, in the Old Testament and the New Testament, drunkenness is condemned, but there is no verse that tells me that I cannot socially drink. Find the verse. We just read the verse. And I don't know what translation you're reading from, but they all say basically the same thing, drinking parties. How many people does it take to make a drinking party that he condemns here? Well, one could be a drinking party, couldn't it? Two, three, four, five, so on. And so Peter here says that if you're one that participates in drinking parties, he says here that they will give an account to him who's ready to judge the living and the dead. But church members, and again, we're talking about church members tonight. We're not talking about other religious groups. We're not talking about the world and so on. We're talking about church members. Church members say, I like to drink. My family likes to socially drink. I like to drink with my friends. The Bible does not condemn social drinking. Find the verse or the verses. Well, we just read a verse where Peter condemns social drinking. Now, Brother Hatcher mentioned this a little bit in his lesson this morning, the Bible study lesson, that a lot of people, when you go talk to them and talk to them about coming to church services, and especially if they're of a different religious group, a denominational group, a lot of times when you really get down to it, their final answer is this. Even if you're able to take some scriptures and point out things that they're doing wrong in their religious group, then a lot of times the answer is this, but I like where I'm going. I like that bunch of people down there. I like going and worshiping with them. And so they say, I'm not willing to change because I like going to church where I'm going to church. And that's happening a lot in the Church of Christ today. Oh, I know that preacher preaches things that are false. I know he teaches things that are false. I know the church here is not doing everything according to what God's Word says as far as our worship and Bible study and so on. They do some things and so on that are more cultural things, that are things that we don't find any authority for doing in the Bible. But I like going to church there. I like the people there. And so they're unwilling to change. And they'll tell you that. I'm not willing to go somewhere else. But is this wrong, what's going on there? Well, yeah, yes, it's wrong. But that's where I like to go to church. And so when do you decide that I've had enough? And I've got to search out and find me a congregation that's more scriptural than where I'm attending. And again, social drinking is one of the things that is a real issue of speculation in the church today. Okay. Having a get together back there, correct? They probably have a starting time they have in mind, correct? I would think. Had a few other things to go with, but I want to stop right there. Gospel of John, John chapter 12, and we'll start with verse 48. John, Gospel of John, John chapter 12, verse 48. I hope that as we went over those things in the lesson tonight and also last Sunday night, it's caused you to think, and as Brother Terry said in his prayer a few minutes ago, to think deeply about some things that are speculated about in the church today and things we need to really be on guard about, not just the eldership of this congregation, but also all the members to be on guard about these things that are speculated about in the church today. Gospel of John, John chapter 12, verse 48. Jesus said, he who rejects me and does not receive my words, has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. Jesus said, we will be judged according to the words, and he's speaking here about his own words as he was here on the earth. And he said, those words came from God. We'll be judged according to what the Bible says. not according to what the culture of today says, not according to what other religious leaders say, not according to what religious leaders that are false today, but the words that we speak and the words that we follow the true word of God. Tonight we want to offer the Lord's invitation, same as it was as we found in Acts chapter 2. Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter told them as they were believing, some of them were believing, what he had just taught them about Christ being the Son of God. He told them, you need to or you must repent. And you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. If there's anyone here in this audience that you need to do that, we would encourage you to do that. If there's someone in the audience tonight that you've listened to the speculation of the world, you've listened to the speculation of other religious groups, you've listened to speculation of people in the Lord's church, and they've turned you away from the truth of God's word, we just encourage you to come back. And will you come right now as we're standing, as we sing?